Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Johnson from Bethel AG Church. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We are so glad we could connect with you through this podcast. Please ensure you subscribe to receive new messages every week. We pray this podcast builds your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and motivates you to live a life of excellence for the glory of our Lord. Thank you for your support. Enjoy the message. When you look at the Holy Bible, as this year we are by faith calling it the year where we flourish, and then we are this month looking at as a part of the fact that we have to flourish in the grace of God, that we must understand we have to face challenges in life, right? Last week looked at how Jesus our Lord faced pain in life, that we have to learn to face pain and process pain in our life in a way that we come out more fruitful. But when you study the scriptures and you look around the world, more people are destroyed not through failure, but because they don't know how to handle success. I'll say that again. More people are destroyed not because of failure, but because they don't know how to handle success. They just don't know how to face success. And that's the reality. When two people are friends, they don't go to court and fight each other, but when they get married and an opportunity of success comes their way, they don't know how to handle that success. This is a reality. I mean, let's look at the scripture. And why am I talking of success? Because I believe everyone seated here as a child of God, you are going to succeed in Jesus' name. You're going to succeed. You will succeed. And if you don't learn how to handle success, that success can itself destroy you. So we have to learn how to handle success in life. This is so important. Noah was a great man of God. 120 years the guy preached. Compared to his preaching, I'm a toddler. I've been preaching, 26 years now in this church and a few years from my teenage before. 120 years he preached. And what did he preach? Rain is going to come. And 120 years of his preaching, rain didn't come. And he was making a boat. I mean, imagine the stress he would have gone through, the kind of narcissism, the kind of sarcasm, the kind of insult he would have faced. People saying, this is a stupid fellow. There is no rain in the planet Earth. And he's saying, rain is going to come, flood is going to come. I mean, what is he talking? I mean, he could have been so stressed out that he would have had to go on drugs. But the fellow was, he handled those moments of pressure and pain with tenacity. He handled it with unusual ability. But the Bible says, rain came, he succeeded, the boat floated, and it landed on Mount Ararat, which today is on the border of Turkey, the mountains of Turkey. And the Bible says, after he became successful, fellow became a habitual drunkard and ended up cursing his own children. It's a lot of times people don't know how to handle success. They know how to handle failure, because in failure we become humble, we pray, we listen to others. But when success comes, there is a sense of pride, there's a sense of arrogance. We don't depend too much on anybody else. We don't listen to God. Success has a way of destroying us. David, I mean, from the time he was a child, he himself sang in the book of Psalms, I was born in sin, because Bible scholars say his parents probably had David born out of wedlock, not in wedlock. That's probably why he was not counted among his brothers and he was the forgotten child of the house. But in all those painful moments of loneliness, he handled the lion alone. He handled the bear alone. And when the giant Goliath came, he said, this joker don't need the armory. One stone from that stream is enough. My sling will do the job. The man who never knew failure, always consistent victory in life, David, became so victorious on the citadel of his palace. As he was walking on the terrace, one Sheba that was bathing, Bathsheba. And the fellow becomes a failure because he didn't know how to handle his moments of success. He knew how to handle his moments of war and battle, failures and pain, but didn't know how to handle pleasures in life. When God gives you success, let it not kill you. Let it not destroy you. We must learn how to handle success. This is a fact around the world. And for that, first we have to be successful. I love the scripture. There's one guy in the Bible that amazes me. His name is Joseph. He's one guy who handled success with such elegance, with such diligence. He handled success in a way that Christ our Lord teaches us to handle success. Look at the way Jesus handled success. Amazing. Just like he handled the cross, the most painful moments of human life, he also handled resurrection with such poise and calm and gentleness. Joseph is a fantastic symbolic of Christ in the Old Testament. Let's read Genesis 39:2. And the Bible says, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian. This, for me, this verse is a paradox. It is a contradiction. It's almost a dichotomy that I struggle to understand. I grew up in a church parsonage. It was a small place to live. Dad had a good job. He could have afforded a good rented house, but so that ministry will be easy, Dad chose to live in a small house, which the church provided, because then we would stay in the church and be available to be. All kinds of people came to our house. And there were a few of these young boys who were very prayerful and all that would come home at odd times and ask my mom, Auntie, can you make some tea? So there's this guy who came, now he's a pastor. He came and he says, Auntie, I don't want tea. Just give me some cold milk. You know, midway milk. I don't drink tea. Just give me milk. So mom said, okay. And she went into the kitchen and I was sitting with this guy and a few others. Father, she's making hot tea for this fellow, you know, not so cold milk. He doesn't want warm milk, as in he doesn't want hot milk, but just, you know, room temperature kind of. After some time, he just wanted it faster and he shouts out to my mother and says, Auntie, I mean, what are you doing with the milk? You can bring it. My mom says, no, she shouts from the kitchen, no, give me some time, because the milk was kept in the freezer and it's frozen, it's solid. I'm waiting for it to just, you know, defreeze and melt. Then I can get you milk as you want. I don't want to boil it because then I don't know. He says, I got an idea, Auntie. I'd like to have warm ice milk. To this day, I can't forget that. What, I was about 10, 11. He wants warm ice milk. It didn't occur to him that when you warm it, it no longer will be solid. It will become liquid. Physics class, he'd missed it, I think. Or for a moment, his brain went through temporary frozenness. Suspended animation of thinking. He says, we couldn't drink our teas because we couldn't stop laughing. He is the only man in my life that asked my mother first. I mean, they make crazy demands on pastor's family. This was one example. Give me warm milk ice. How do you make the two match? The same feeling when I read that verse. Because when the Lord is with you and you're prosperous, prosperity means liberty, success, freedom to do what you want. Next line says, he was in his master's house as a slave. This is like warm ice. How do the two match? You are a slave in a fellow's house and then the Bible says you were successful. How does the two match? You know, when you and I have to see a jungle, we have to see the forest, we have to see all the trees and unusual mountain settings or valley settings and no human habitation, and we know that's a jungle. But you know what God calls a jungle? He looks at a seed and says, that's a jungle. God doesn't wait for the harvest. God looks at the potential and calls it what it is. God looked at Joseph and said, you're a prosperous guy. Why? Why? Why did God say you're a prosperous guy? Because God said, you are closer to me than you are to your master. You have more faith in what I can do to you than you have faith in what your master can do to you. Hallelujah. The Bible doesn't say, and Joseph was with his master. The Bible says the Joseph was in his master's house. That was his location. But who was with Joseph? And the Lord was with Joseph. Hey, if the Lord is with you, your GPS location doesn't matter. You're going to be prosperous. Prosperity is not location, it's relationship. Hallelujah! It starts on the inside. Prosperity starts on the inside. It's a matter of relationship. But Joseph, when the Lord is with you, you have to make commitments to be successful. And I want to beg all of us as God's children, don't ignore success. Don't become so humble that you don't care for your success. You should be careful about your success. You should succeed. Why? You should not take God's presence in your life through failure, because you don't want anything to God's presence in your life except to glorify Him. So for the sake of His holy presence, go through success. Glorify God through a successful life. Commit to choices that brings you success by the grace of God. As a slave, the boy was a slave, but he still chose to be successful. He made choices of success. He got into trouble because of that, but he continued to make choices of success. People all have equal value. But truth is, all people don't have equal abilities. People have different levels of abilities. Some people seem to be blessed with more abilities than others and more opportunities than others. But the truth is, everybody has some ability in you, and you must focus on developing that ability and making choices that help that ability, instead of looking at others' ability and desiring what they have, what you don't have. Please stop that. Enjoy what you have. A few years ago, somebody told me, Pastor, I think it was my children, Dad, this is an old model, take a new model. I said, so what? Will you sound different in that? Don't worry about what you don't have, but be committed to what God has given you. Develop that. Make choices that support that. Hallelujah. That's what you see in the life of Joseph. You can make choices that will add value to your talent, because different people identify their abilities at different stages of life and blossom through different ages of life. When you don't believe in yourself, you are doubting the manufacturer, which is God Almighty. You're saying God makes wrong products. Excuse me. God don't make wrong products. God is a perfect God. And you were manufactured not in China. God created you. He put His quality check seal on you. There's so much perfection in you that there is no one else with your eyeballs and fingerprints. We are unique in God's hand. So please stop doubting yourself. And on top of that, this is how we are. Some people, when they get blessed, I can't handle this. Hey, if God gave you that success, He will also give you the grace to handle it. Handle it with poise. Handle it with calm. Hallelujah. Amen. Some people put restrictions on themselves. They put limitation on themselves through fear, tradition, lethargy. Tradition, oh, we never done it that way. Lethargy, oh, I'm too lazy to do it. When you put a limit on yourself, you limit what not only you can, but you also will not do. Successful people believe in themselves because they know God created them with a purpose, even when others don't believe in them. They'll believe in themselves. This is very important. It happened to me, you know, 7 people in church that time, 1997, 96. Only 7 people in church. That particular, of us at 5 people. And I am struggling with so many, you know, internal issues. And one man, while I'm preaching, gets up. I think that's why I have a problem with people get up when I'm preaching. He gets up, goes out in Ganganagar, and he's shouting to his wife who's sitting there, "Come, who will sit there? This churcha, this is like clinic." I don't know why he used the word clinic. Maybe he needed treatment. You can imagine my embarrassment. I can hear what he's shouting to his wife. I have to keep the few people so interested, including his wife, that she don't get up and go. Because when you have only 6 or 7 people and one goes out, that's a big percentage of your congregation going out. I went through those seasons where nobody believed in me. But it's okay. You believe in what God has called you to do. And you keep moving forward, trusting that God will take you through. The only proof you will have you are right is the substance in you called faith. Hebrews 11:1. A professor in psychology university found this, that the salesmen who believed in their product sold 37% more than the salespersons who didn't believe in their product. In other words, if you doubt yourself, you'll be surprised at how few people believe you. According to researchers, there is a greater proportion and correlationship between confidence in yourself and achievements that you get than the relationship between your IQ abilities and your achievement. Even people with lower IQ and lower abilities manage to get better results when their achievement is more connected to their confidence. That's why the devil puts fear in our hearts and makes us feel that, oh, I can't do it. Personal breakthroughs in life begin when you change your beliefs. Why? Because your beliefs determine your expectations, and your expectations determine your actions. Hallelujah. Amen. When you change your expectations, your results will change. Change your expectations. I began to believe, God, you can make it happen. I've seen, you know, in European churches and all, parking lots are so huge. I said, God, even we want that. Why not? For that, our people should have cars and bikes. Our people should have money. Then church should have parking lot, everything you bring. It is possible. It's happening now. Many of you, now you know how you got your car. Somebody is praying now. Change your expectations. Results will change. Lifestyle will change. Hallelujah. When I changed the thing, you know, I stopped talking about poverty, struggle, failure. I began to show from the Bible, hey, you can be successful. Indian people began to succeed, buying their own homes. Fellows who were, you know, sweeping in McDonald's became managers in McDonald's. No job, no job. I said, jobs are waiting for you. No job in market. I said, what about over 1 million people earning in Bangalore? Yeah, I said, if 1 million fellows can be employed in India, can't you be employed? You think God don't know where to slot you? Yeah, I said, this month you're going to work. This month don't want, Pastor. Why? I'm going to a native place. I said, shut up. Now you work. Suddenly they get a job. Change your expectation. God will change the results. Am I helping anybody here? And the Lord was with Joseph. If God is with you, think like God is with you. That's the way you get to handle success. Life does not get better by chance. Never gets better by kismat, chance. No. Life gets better by change. And the change should always start on the inside. Change of thoughts, habits, and that creates a better life. When God's presence is with you, it creates what I call passion. Passion. Passion means desire. That conviction in something. That push inside will be there. In a graveyard, on a tombstone, it was written, buried at 60, but had died at 30. On a tombstone, it was written, buried at 60, but had already died at 30. No life on the inside. Living. Where you're going? Nowhere. Why you're going? Simply. You know, no sense of direction on the inside. Now, I'm not talking about casual statements, but if that's the reality and pragmatic, then there is a danger. You just can't help some people to become winners until they have the passion to win. That small toddler's competition, that baby don't want to run. Then the teacher or the ayah or the mother will come and make the run, run, darling, run. Like pastoral ministry. And finally the baby comes first because ayah ran fast. Now they put one gold medal on the baby. Gold medal is soaked. Why? Full of tears and crying. You can't make someone win unless they want it from the heart. When God's presence is with you, you should have the willingness to submit to God's presence and not to circumstances. He lived in Potiphar's house, but the Lord was with him. Hallelujah! You know, passion is a foundation for excellence. That deep desire. Amen. Passion makes you go beyond your hurdles. That desire to see it happen. Amen. There are two kinds of people around you. One is called fire lighters. They will light passion in you. You go and be with them for a few minutes. No, you'll feel encouraged. You'll feel like going and doing something for God. Something positive. They are fire lighters. One fellow who was on drugs, he told me his personal story. He said, Pastor, I was on drugs in his 20s and few years of addiction, and the Lord delivered him. And he said, now I get high. High means the feeling of drugs. He said, now also I get high, but only on Sundays. I said, wow, explain. He said, I come to church, Pastor. The high I used to get on drugs was addictive, but the high I get here is contagious. It passes on to my friends and others. You know, we must learn to be fire lighters. Hallelujah. Amen. 7-8 years ago, one lady gave me one big offering. I asked her for what? Looked like dowry. I said, wow, what is this? You know? Looked like, I didn't open and see how much. It looked big. So I told her, what is this? She said, because you saved my life. What did I do? She said, Pastor, I came to Bangalore. I attempted suicide. I didn't die. Attempted, but didn't die. Thank God she didn't die. The nurse used to come to our church, and the nurse told her, you know, instead of going into psychiatry and all that, why don't you come to church and pray? So she came to church. She said, Pastor, last 10 years, that desire to die is gone. Coming to church, desire to die is gone. Now I don't want to die. So I thought I should give God, you know, I should gift money. I said, sure, I'll pray. You put it in the offering. No, it's for you. I said, don't want. I'm not the one who gave you life. It is Christ who gave you life. You know, when you are with Christ, you should be a fire lighter. Hallelujah. When people come to you, your life should be motivational. Amen. Should be there when they should feel that, yes, his God can lead me. Her God can lead me. That confidence. Some others are called firefighters. They are like people walking with cold water. Anywhere they see passion, they'll throw water and dampen that spirit. You got promotion, huh? Welcome. You don't know what you got. Trouble, ma. New sari, huh? How much you paid? Huh. Okay, maybe worth that money. Doesn't look like that. New car, huh? Where you will drive? What's the use? Got married, you, that fellow. there are some people. Recently, I had to settle a family issue, family problem. Because it seems when they went into the, to see the couple, they had a baby. When these people went, family members, when they went to see the baby, somebody was holding the baby. And they saw the couple and said, where is the baby? And they said, that person is holding. It became a big problem. Some people have the mannerisms that will douse any fire in your heart. When you see such people, no, take on the shield of salvation, the faith of prayer, the sword of the word of God. Amma, you have to battle it. Sometimes we are living with them. Sometimes our security is like that. Sometimes auto driver is like that. Hello, Kir Amma. Allah, yes, can take it. Yes, can. Oh, Kagala Amma. Ashtbega Oga Kagala. Road free, Dialba. Yen free, ka traffic barate. They have. Some people have the ability to be negative and they will pull down your faith. During VBS, two children came to me and said, we want your prayer. I said, sure. Small baby, 6 years, 8 years. Every time I close my eyes, I see darkness. These two children are saying, I can't see Jesus. Can I open my eyes and pray? I said, don't. Darkness is better than seeing us. But I can't see Jesus. I said, don't worry. You don't have to close your eyes to see Jesus. You close your eyes so you can avoid seeing others. And then you can think of Jesus. Yes, Pastor. I said, that's why we close our eyes. Sometimes it's better to see darkness than to see some of these firefighters. They're extinguishers who are mobile. When you watch them, be careful. Protect your passion. That's why you should build good relationships. Because relationships take from us, add to us, and are very pivotal to us. Look closely at who is really influencing you. Your friends, maybe personalities on the screen. Take a close look at it because that's the direction of your life. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 said something very interesting. He said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I spoke like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things away. Becoming a man is a process of giving up some things and taking over some other things. Everybody is born a child. No one is born a man or a woman. Becoming a man or a woman is a process of maturity. Some people say that wisdom comes with age. Trust me, I've seen age coming alone. Wisdom is a choice. When you are in your school, you know, ye dosti nahi todenge zindagi ke liye. For your sake, I leave her da. What all commitments these boys make? Was it Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn, blood covenant? They cut their skin, pour blood on the contract. And then in the evening, they were asking, why did we do all that? In childhood, we think this friendship is for life. On graduation, 10th standard, we write, I wish I could write this to you in gold, but ink is all my pen can hold. Can't live without you. You are the dark sky in which I as a star shine. What all people write. 20 years later, she's the manager and you are the whatever and you're writing, don't kill me today, please. The older you grow, the more you mature, you realize that in life, friendships actually are more and more shallow and very transactional. And if you're not careful, they can become destructive. The problem is some people are still behaving like kids in grown-up bodies and don't understand that life can be transactional and you have very few who are deep in friendship. How do you understand good relationships? Because if you want to handle success right, you've got to have good friendships. Otherwise, you can destroy yourself through the success God gave you. One of the signs of good relationship is mutual respect and reciprocity. That is, give and take is pretty mutual. Respect is mutual. Shared experiences and faith is so important in success. Trustworthiness is so important. In fact, the Bible talks in the book of Proverbs about some identifications of good friendships to be successful. First of all, Proverbs 18:24, the Bible says, it's hard to find a good friend. 17:17 of Proverbs, friends will not jump the ship when the going gets rough. Proverbs 27:9, friends will be available to give you good counsel. 27:6, friends will speak truth to you in palatable terms. 27:17 of Proverbs, friends will sharpen you, they'll make you better. If that party and that group of friends are making you not so better, then they're not really good friends. They're good acquaintances. Go there, have your lemonade, get out. But don't allow their culture to seep into you. Friends will sharpen you. Friends will be sensitive to your feelings. Chapter 26, verse 18 and 19 of Proverbs. Friends will stick with you. Proverbs 16:28, Proverbs 18:24. Pastor, where do we find such a friend? Start with Jesus. Start with Christ our Lord. To handle success, we must be people of action, focus, courage. And these qualities are things that you develop. We all have fears. Today morning, I got up from my study room and went to sleep. After our family prayer, I tried to sleep. This 4 pages. I read over 300 pages, multiple books, studied the Bible, I don't know how many verses. 2:45 when I finally went to sleep. I've been preparing this message from I don't know how long. Every message I take time to prepare. I start preparation 1 year in advance when I title it and start praying over it and start collecting material, start thinking through. I distilled it from how many ever pages, brought it down to 4, timed it, did all that. But still when I try to sleep, I can't sleep. Fear, will it come out right? There is nobody who doesn't have fear. Everyone has fear. Take action on that fear. Tell fear, come, do what you want. You finish and go, then I'll do the rest. Take action. I struggled with fear in my childhood because once I was casting out one demon spirit in a fasting prayer. And we used to sleep in the church because our parsonage was very small. So after all the prayer, everybody has to go. Some fellows will be sitting and counseling with my dad and I'll be praying, Father, solve his problem fast. I have to sleep because only after they go, I can sleep. I learned prayer through many difficult experiences in life. Some people, we used to call them whole night. Because if they come, full family can't sleep whole night. Say, at least new problem we bring. Same old. Thirumbi vanda. Yaaru? Marumaga. Finished. Whole night. Introduction itself will be 12 o'clock. Substance will start only after 3 a.m. One day we had cast out one demon spirit and that demon had told me, Ninnanu bidalla. That demon spirit warned me. I told in Jesus' name, get out. Hoga seta, hogala, hoga, hogala. Eeg hogo, sari hogtini. Hoga. Bidd hogo. Fell down, demon left, he got up. How are you, brother? Feeling nice. It left. I know it left. You're feeling, can you walk? Yeah, I can walk. Earlier I couldn't walk. Now I can. Oh, praise God. Full gang around. We are praising God, laughing. Hallelujah. Stotram. In the night when I closed my eyes, the demons. Oh, I can't sleep. I switched on the light. My brother, he used to sleep with me. He shouted at me. I felt casting the devil out was easier than... I switched off the light. I switched off the light. 2 nights I couldn't sleep. I told my parents it's affecting me. And they are like, who asked you to go pray for them? Pastors are here, others are here. Simply you will jump into everything. Third night, Thursday night, Friday night I struggled. Saturday night, next day Sunday. I think it was Saturday night, or was it Sunday night? One of the nights, I got up in the night. I sat down. I said, devil, come. What you want to do, you do. You want to do, you do. I want to sleep. settle it. You want to kill, kill. But if I'm alive, I'm going to be peaceful. I'm done with this. I prayed, I got angry, I cried, I knelt down, I said, Lord, if you can't look after me, devil will do whatever. I made my prayers, I went to sleep. Morning, I woke up and I understood. 2 nights of sleep I did not have because of my stupidity. I could have done the same thing 2 nights ago. Take action on your fear. Now, that doesn't mean you go jump into a well to come out of fear. No. Don't do stupid things. But take action on your fear. What are you afraid of? Go do it. What will happen? Let it happen. Life after that, at least you can live without fear. Amen. Now that husband is having strength. Tonight, I'll tell my wife, I love you, darling. Go, brother. Go. The Lord is with you. But tell only your wife. Focus does not come naturally to many of us. Especially when you succeed, the more you succeed, more opportunities, more confusions, more distractions, more compulsions. So focus takes God's presence and the necessity of God's presence. In fact, when you look at courage, to handle success, you have to be courageous. And courage, I have written down 3 things. One, when you study the Bible, you develop convictions that are stronger than your fear. You develop faith, which is stronger than your fear. How do you become courageous? Through developing convictions, realities, truths that are stronger than fear. Second, developing greater vision than the doubts of your life. Third, developing spiritual sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, which is louder than the voice in the society. Opinion of the society. And when God's presence is with us, we'll be teachable. Shall we say that together? When God's presence is with us, we'll be. The lack of the. See, teachability is more of an attitude than an ability. You don't have to be of high intelligence and IQ to be able to learn something. You just need to be humble to listen. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Be humble. An attitude of willingness to learn is like this. The humility to listen, to learn, to unlearn, to learn, and to apply what you learn. I'll say that again, okay? I hope you catch this. The humility, the willingness to listen, to learn, to unlearn, to relearn, and to apply what you learn. Why? Why? I'll explain why. Because when we listen, we learn. And when we continue to listen, we realize, oh, some things I learned it wrong. We have to unlearn. And then we have to relearn. Over time, there are things we relearn. And then we have to apply what we learn. There's a big gap between knowledge and behavior. And when you bridge that, you have success. You remember the story, no? One tourist went to a soap factory. And finally, he was so enamored by the soap factory, the machines, the raw materials coming, the robotics and the employees. And the manager asked, would you like to write something? He wrote in the feedback, the place is amazing, but people are stinking. The manager said, that's because we supply soap. We don't apply soap. A lot of time, a lot of times, we learn, but we don't apply. And that's the difference between handling success and being destroyed by success. Pride and fear of change are the two biggest hindrances to being teachable are pride, ego, pride, and the fear of change. Will I have to change? That fear. But if you want God to help you with success in life and to hold success, we have to develop strong character by the presence of God that transforms us. There are people who say, I'm a good person, my character is good, but that situation, I behave like that. That's like somebody saying, my face is not dirty, that mirror. Hey, wash your face. Don't blame the circumstance. Allow God's word to transform you. Circumstance is like a mirror. It shows what's on the inside. Don't break the mirror. Don't blame the circumstance. Work on who we are. Because talent is a gift. Either you have it or you don't. But character is a choice that protects the gift God has put in you. According to scientists who study oceans, they say that iceberg above the water is only about 15% the size of the actual iceberg because of the laws of physics of buoyancy. Only about 15% you see on the top. The bigger portion is down. The top portion you call success that you can see, but the one beneath in the Atlantic Ocean, you remember Titanic? Why did it sink? Those two characters? No. I wish I could refer to scriptures with that convenience. No, what happened? They only saw the small iceberg on the top. They missed the bigger. The bigger one beneath, which people don't see, are attitudes and character. Success is just the smaller portion on top. Character can, this is an amazing twin paradox. It's an amazing thing. Character and choices are so interconnected. Your character will determine what you choose, and your choice will determine more of your character. They are like a spiral. Instead of going down, let it go up. You want to control your character? Control your choices. Because when you do that, it controls your character. Choices of thought life, feelings of life, way you speak, things you do. If you and I want to handle our success, we have to work on our character. And four parts of our character include self-discipline, internal and external, core values of our belief system, identity of who we are, and integrity of how we consolidate the whole thing. And character is really about how able we are to respond. It's about responsibility. Okay, I'll start with a joke. Y'all are looking serious and I'm done. By the way, I'm on the fourth page. Y'all enjoyed God's word? Did y'all like the Bible? My wife was asking me after first service, you preached more from other books, not from Bible today. So I was telling her, no, it's like milk and ghee. Milk and ghee. Ghee comes from milk only, no? No, some young boys are confused. Ghee is not a petroleum product. It is a... Because we're living in this tectonic shift of digital world. Okay, ghee is a natural product, byproduct from milk, dairy product. Okay. But ghee is so different from milk. And my, instead of preaching about Joseph saying he went to prison and that Mrs. Potiphar and how she looked, and instead of all that, I churn it, take the ghee and preach the ghee. So it may not sound like a Bible, traditional Bible, but what I'm preaching purely is the Bible, is the ghee. You lost the timing. Now, okay, responsibility. I thought of a joke. Responsibility. Today I preached 45 minutes. Not bad. I hope I didn't bore you. One journalist, an editor, that newspaper's name was Examiner. The editor of the Examiner newspaper sent a news sports reporter to cover a big game in another city where a big game was going on in a big stadium. Spent money on his flight tickets, sent him with the cameras, and fellow comes back with nothing in one day's time, or immediately he comes back with nothing. The editor asked, where's the report? You came back so fast. Where's the story? No report, said the sports reporter. Editor said, why not, man? It was a big game. No game, says the reporter. Why no game? It was the biggest game of the season in the biggest stadium. Reporter says, listen, no game because as the thousands, 10,000s came, the whole stadium fell down. Editor stood up and said, oh my God, that's the biggest news. Where's the report? Where are the photographs? And the news reporter said, when I saw that, I walked out, sir, because I'm a sports reporter, ask the breaking news reporter. You know, talk true stories. Talk about passing the buck, shifting the blame. Didn't start with you and me. We don't have the copyright to it. Started in the Garden of Eden. But the more you are faithful to your responsibilities, Jesus said, the more you will be rewarded to be faithful. Don't run away from responsibilities. Don't get upset with responsibility. It's easy to dodge our responsibilities, but we cannot dodge the consequences of dodging our responsibilities. In our church, we are so thankful to the faithful people who keep growing in their responsibilities through their natural faithfulness. When you're successful, stay loyal to your faith. Stay loyal to your family. Honor God in your church. With increasing financial and secular success, don't lose your loyalty to those that you need to stay loyal. Take time to rest and enjoy what God has given. So important. When you're successful, how do you handle it? Take time to enjoy what God has given you. Don't let your past failures or somebody died in the process, somebody couldn't enjoy it. Don't let that feeling make you feel guilty of enjoying what success God has given you. Learn to handle the success wisely. And the most important thing I would say is, when God gives you success, don't use it to take revenge on others. Don't use it to show others. Use it to serve others. That's the best way of handling your success. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed as we pray and say, Father, help us to face our success and handle it in a way that Jesus handled his success. Lord Jesus, have you handled success? As we studied from the book of Genesis, how Joseph handled his success and the principles we studied from his life, help us to make choices of success. Even if we have to go through pain, even if we have to go through negativity, help us, oh God, to trust you and to build our character and to build wise relationships. Oh Father God, help us to identify with your calling in our lives, knowing that you are faithful. Hallelujah. Help us not to be in any way confused with guilt and shame, especially when we have to rest and enjoy the success you bring in our life. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Lord. Help us to enjoy pleasures of your grace without the sin of the society. We worship you today. Wherever we are sitting, or those of you who are standing, shall we just talk to the Lord and say, Father, tonight, today, really, I want to dedicate my success to your glory. I will not only be successful, but I want to handle it in a successful way. I don't want my success to defeat me. That good job, that good marriage, that good children, I don't want it to become a stress that turns my character negative. Every success you give me, every responsibility you give me, I want to build a good character that will glorify your name. Heavenly Father, this beautiful day, we thank you for speaking to us. Thank you that the heaviness of your word describes the beauty of your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us like you were with Joseph. Help us not to be controlled by our masters, but like in Joseph's life, that will be controlled by your presence. And like how in Joseph's life, his master Potiphar soon had to become Joseph's servant as Joseph became a prince in the palace. May in our life, the things that threaten us soon become our servants. We love you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to today's message. I believe that you are blessed. Please connect with us for prayer or counseling. Please do call us or visit our website or visit us. The details are given in the description. We'll be glad to serve you. Do subscribe so you can receive the latest podcast to encourage you in your journey in Christ. Please do share it with your friends too by clicking the share button. We are praying for you. God has great plans for your life. Thanks again for participating, listening. God bless you.